Can you build a platform on slavery? I think is like kind of one of the questions that comes up.
Carmen's like, I don't think slavery can be a brand, right? Like, and you know, she said, you know, she's right.
Hello and welcome to Revel, a collection of Realm's comedies, dramedies, and rom-com oddities. My name is Rhoda. I'm a producer at Realm.
And I'm Pia Wilson. And I wrote If I Go Missing, Witches Did It.
Stay tuned after the episode for more discussion between me and Pia.
Stay tuned.
Here is episode 5 of If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It. We'll be back just after this.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Blog, July 16th. I was walking around the property all morning, and I think I found the hanging oak.
Or at least, I found a tree with presents. Since nothing magical happened, even after I said om, like they did in that one yoga class I took, I walked back to the house thinking about the witches. I decided that I needed a way to get close enough to them to find their weaknesses. I told Victor that I wanted a reset with the witches, and he suggested inviting them over to the house for brunch. I didn't call them witches to his face. I called them by their actual names. I was excited because I knew they wouldn't reject an invitation from a Richardson. Plus, they genuinely seemed to like him. Almost everyone does.
Babe, you're absolutely doing the right thing here. Publishing is a relationship business, and these ladies could be great connections for you. Look at them that way.
Victor said, his blue popsicle eyes shining as he leaned against the kitchen counter, drinking from his demitasse of Turkish coffee. I consulted my astrological calendar and made Victor rush to send out an invitation for tomorrow. He huffed and puffed, but tomorrow there's positive energy around networking and sharing ideas because of Venus and the north node of the moon aligning in my sector of friends. Duh! I need all the help I can get. Later, I thought more about what Victor said about relationships and connections. At first, the witches had been nice to me. Well, Bibi hadn't. But overall, they had been welcoming. I've been thinking about my vision more and more. What if the coven had the same vision and wanted to teach me magic so I could join their circle?
Then I'm the one who's been bitchy. Oh God, did they think I was a threat now? I need to be smart and calm at brunch tomorrow.
Realm presents If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, Episode 5.
Log, July 17th. The first thing I did when the coven arrived was pull Carmen aside to apologize to her about my behavior. I spent a lot of time yesterday worrying about her. She's the only witch who has magically done anything to me. She said she accepted it, but her face was completely neutral, and I couldn't tell what she was really thinking. I was grateful Victor was there to man the grill and kick off the conversation. Like the first time I met the goddesses, they were dressed similarly in white and tan. I was tempted to make a joke about gang colors, but thought better of it. Like my mom used to tell me, you don't have to say everything you think. After a couple of rounds of my famous sangria, I started to pitch them on my slavery book idea. The book was, after all, my cover for why I had Victor invite them over. Megan was immediately bummed out by the subject matter.
All of those poor children.
I had to bite my lip to stop me from telling her that slavery was fucked up for the adults, too. I pivoted to asking about how I could build an influencer platform around the subject.
Slavery can't really be packaged into a brand.
Definitely not. I guess I was just hoping you all could help me learn how to build a platform through which I can talk about all these things.
No matter which platform you choose, you'll have to put your qualifications in your bio. Have you written any articles or taught a college class on the subject?
My blackness is my qualification. I turned to Bibi, who had practically been mute since she arrived. Don't you look for authors who have a certain following on social media? I asked her directly before turning to the rest of the witches. Do you maybe have any tricks I could use to get a following? Maybe loan me some of your social media magic? As soon as I mentioned magic, Bibi eased out of her chair and walked over to Victor, who was eavesdropping from the grill. She asked him loudly about his setup and how he built his fire. I don't know how she knew that was his favorite question in the world, but she did. Mommy Megan played dumb, suggesting I gather a following on Twitter since that seems to be where a lot of authors go. I told her that's what my agent said. I was hoping to hear from you all the mechanics of building a following. They were giving me nothing. I wondered if Victor being there was the problem, but then I remembered Carmen hadn't been shy about making my skin color fade in the middle of town. Bibi and Victor interrupted my train of thought by bringing over a couple platters piled high with lamb and steak and grilled vegetables. After everyone oohed and aahed over the food, Victor ran back to the grill to get the tiny tomatoes in aluminum foil he'd been roasting since this morning.
You know what, babe? I was listening to your book idea while I was grilling. I think the book might be too niche for anyone but a local publisher to pick up. Does anyone in Los Angeles or anywhere other than New York really care about what was going on in Westchester County hundreds of years ago?
It may have been his mouth moving, but I knew they were the words of a publishing insider. Bibi.
Maybe you should look into teaching when we get back to Brooklyn, like Brooke suggested.
Then, the rest of the witch bitches, even Mommy Megan, made Victor say their words. They were showing me their power, and Victor had no idea.
Babe, Carmen has such beautiful skin. There's this facialist she uses in town. They specialize in clearing blackheads.
Yeah? How do you know that? I asked, staring at Carmen. My face was not neutral. She looked down. Megan complimented the food.
Thanks. Your food is great, too. You should really have a show on the Food Network. Babe, Megan has an online cooking workshop for couples. We should take one.
I shot daggers from my eyes at Megan. She started bouncing her knee and stared at her plate. When I glanced at Brooke, she had a smug look on her face.
If you want to go back to Brooklyn tomorrow to get a head start on this teaching thing, I'll be fine. Brooke will take care of me.
I took off my hoop earrings and stood up, ready to snatch Brooke's edges. Fuck magic and fuck their circle. Carmen knew what was up and put a stop to it.
Jenna, Victor, thank you for inviting us over today. Everything is delicious.
Victor smiled.
Thank you. Isn't Jenna's sangria amazing?
He said, sounding genuinely like himself. I sat back down and rubbed his arm. Thank you, honey. Oh, I forgot the hot sauce. He offered to grab it like I knew he would. Once he was inside, I turned to the coven. Listen, I'm done with y'all. You stay on your side of town and I'll stay on mine. Eat your food and get out.
You leaving us alone is music to our ears.
Great, enjoy. I'd tell you to go fuck yourself, but I know you're already planning to do that over at Carmen's house next week. Brooke stared at me and the smirk dropped from her face. She raised her hands as if she was going to do something to me. Bibi told her not to be rash, and Brooke put her hands down. I doubted myself along the way, but I was right from the beginning. You're all just a bunch of evil bitches who have had everything handed to you.
Don't get mad at us for working smarter, not harder. We would have shown you how, but it's clear you don't have the right temperament.
You're right, I don't. And I'm gonna expose you bitches somehow. Trust. Now get out. Brooke laughed as the witches stood up and left. I noticed Megan looking back over her shoulder at me. I took a deep breath and went inside to check on Victor. He was nowhere to be found. I texted him. He was on his way to town to pick up hot sauce. When he got back, he was upset that everyone had left. I told him what happened, sort of. I didn't include the stuff about them being witches. I said they insulted me and made me feel like I didn't belong. We all agreed to steer clear of each other.
I don't think you should make enemies of these women. They have so much influence.
Too late. Seeing his pained look, I told him I was kidding. As we were starting to pack up the food, I gently probed Victor about what he remembered from the brunch. He didn't recall much beyond chatting with Bibi about building his fire and then being in the grocery store to get my favorite hot sauce. You know what? Instead of packing up this food, why don't we invite over some of your friends? I just want to have some fun, don't you?
Yeah, babe.
He said, picking me up and spinning me around.
Maybe we can take a swim in the lake, too.
I went to put on my bikini while he texted everyone. I shaved myself to within an inch of my life. I put on makeup, including my secret weapon, red lipstick. Before I went downstairs to greet everyone, I cast a protection spell over Victor that I found on the internet. I wasn't sure how well it would work. But since my other feeling spell worked on him, I figured this one would too. The people he invited over to the house were more chill than the bros he talked to at Brooke's barbecue. They were funny and smart. They reeked of privilege every time they talked about how they got their jobs or their apartments in the city. Must be nice to have a life with no worries. After a few gin and tonics, I didn't mind telling them I went to a small college in Pennsylvania as opposed to Yale or Harvard or Columbia or wherever they had gone to.
I wish I'd gone to an HBCU. At least that would have been something.
I flirted and smiled and laughed at corny jokes. I was everybody's best friend. I knew I needed to get some social allies to beat these witch bitches at their own game.
Hey everybody, it's Kaylin at Revel, and I want to tell you about Green Chef. They have nutritionist-approved recipes with clean ingredients that help make healthy lifestyle choices easy to make. Each meal comes pre-measured or pre-chopped with custom-made sauces that they make in-house, and they are delicious and convenient. They have something for everybody with 80-plus recipes. I love Green Chef because it helps me save time, because I don't have to go to the grocery store as much, and that's great because I don't like going outside. I would much rather light candles, try to keep my heart rate down, and watch some good movies. So if that's you, please go to greenchef.com/REVEL50 and use the code REVEL50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's REVEL50 for 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Jenna is so confident about Brooke, Carmen, Bibi, and Megan being witches that I'm starting to feel persuaded by her conviction. I have to admit that the encounter I recorded with Brooke doesn't seem natural. And by natural, I mean my not remembering large parts of it is unnatural. I catch up with the so-called coven at a silent auction at the Chrysalis Club. I approach the four of them as they step out to the patio. They smile, though I don't feel any warmth. Brooke takes my hand in hers. My body remembers a slightly calloused caress from the other night, and I get goosebumps. I get a flash of pulling her garter down with my teeth. Did that really happen? God.
Thank you for the lovely feature about me. Your office called for approvals.
I blush. I'm feeling the heat now. I withdraw my hand and tell her she's welcome. I take a step away from her gravitational pull. Megan steps in between me and Brooke.
How are you doing, Elise? Did you enjoy the pie?
Very much, thank you. It was delicious, I say, feeling instantly better. She has such a calming energy. Before any of them can make their excuses to leave, I tell them I'm there to get their side of the story about what Jenna said about them. I pull my phone out of my Balenciaga and hold it out like an old-timey reporter.
Oh, do you not remember the conversation you had with Brooke and me at my house?
She did seem distracted at the time.
Brooke says, a devilish smile on her face.
You're Sabine's daughter, aren't you?
Bibi says, as if all she's been trying to do for the past few minutes is place me.
Give Sabine and Connor my best.
I nod, and she nods, putting her hands in her pockets. Brooke seems confused by Bibi's sudden silence.
Elise, we truly aren't interested in hearing any more of Jenna's slander,
Megan says to me quite gently, but I bristle at the word slander. Are you denying that you all had a serious row with Jenna when she invited you over to the Richardson estate? Brooke moves Megan aside and steps forward, no pleasantries in her face. I don't have a good feeling about this, and when it comes to fight or flight mode, I always freeze.
Speaking of the Richardson estate, I hear you're staying with Victor now. Still following him around with puppy dog eyes? Does he know what a mess you were before your big college makeover?
I straighten my back. I will not be distracted. Who told her about my makeover in college? I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to help find Jenna. Carmen takes Brooke and Megan's hands. Megan reluctantly joins hands with Bibi. I look around to see if anyone inside at the auction is paying attention. I want to turn and run, but as predicted, I freeze.
The bumpy road of high school is tread once more. Bad hair, bad skin with oil-filled pores. Daddy's wallet couldn't carry you far. Now, mind's eye begins to recall that which you've suppressed. You feel every moment. You feel it all.
the rest of the women whisper in unison with Carmen.
Feel it all.
I begin to hear the nicknames some of the mean girls in school gave me freshman year in high school. Greasilies. I had oily skin like every other kid in high school. Why did they have to pick on me? They would ask me if Sabine had adopted me because they couldn't see any of her genes in my face. Ugh, oh my God. I'm stuck here, in my mind. I can feel the four women walking around me. I grab Megan's arm. I think it's Megan. It feels soft, almost pudgy. Please don't leave me here. Please. She gently removes her arm.
I tried to warn you on Labor Day,
she whispers, making her exit. I make my way out of Chrysalis and wander around town. Maybe I can walk this off. Jeez, I just remembered my green eyeliner face. I bump into Bobby Kawasaki. Not now, universe! Before I get more than a few steps away, I hear him say,
Wow, excuse you.
I feel a burning in my chest. I did so much for him in high school. I tried so hard, and he gave me nothing. He may be tallish and fit now, but in high school, he was a skinny geek with pimply skin as bad as mine.
No, Bobby! Excuse you!
I shout with the pent-up fury of 16-year-old me trying to give him oral sex to no avail.
I may have been far from perfect in high school, but guess what, bud? So are you! I did everything I could to make our time together special. I made playlists and handmade cards for you. I gave you head!
Another Asian man with aviators resting on top of his short, bleach blonde hair comes up and kisses Bobby on the shoulder and looks at me with a smile.
Oh yeah? When was this?
Now I know why Bobby's penis was so limp in my mouth. This man and Bobby have matching wedding bands.
You're gay, Bobby? Why didn't you come out to me?
Honestly, I didn't want you to make it your next cause celeb.
I wouldn't have cared. I spent the rest of high school and half of my college years thinking I couldn't turn a guy on. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21!
Bobby's husband stifles a laugh. I start crying, thinking back to when Bobby broke up with me in high school via text.
Elise, you're making this about you. You want to know why I didn't come out to you in high school, This is why.
The husband starts pulling Bobby backwards slowly. I stomp my feet and start screaming,
I am not a racist! I am not a racist!
I hear a voice behind me.
Elise!
Leave me alone!
I remember wearing the wrong shade of foundation one day in 10th grade and washing it off in the bathroom after the mean girls laughed at me behind my back. Joyce Calloway, oh, God bless her. She was the only person nice enough to let me know. She'd waited until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Elise, it's me, Victor.
I come into the present again and see the concern in Victor's face.
Are you high?
He whispers, hurting me away from prying eyes. Ugh, part of me hopes no one is recording this. He puts me in his car, which I'm glad is nearby. As he walks around to the driver's side, I can hear him asking himself why he attracts women like this. I guess he means me and Jenna. He says to himself,
But this is getting out of hand.
I don't know what came before the butt, but such a funny little homonym. I giggle like 14-year-old me.
But
Victor groans and drives us home.
Log, July 18th. When Victor and I had sex this afternoon, I remembered to make a wish as I came.
I want my next book to be a big hit!
I screamed, still grinding. Victor was confused and slightly amused, but he cared less and less the closer he got to finishing.
When he was done, he exited my body and plopped down beside me, relaxed and happy. He told me he loved me before taking a cat nap. I suddenly felt conflicted. I love Victor. That wasn't the problem. I wondered how much I could really love him if I couldn't be honest with him about those women being witches. But I don't want him to think I'm crazy. I don't want to hear him actually say those words. Me and the witch bitches agreed to stay away from each other yesterday, but I know they're already working spells against me. My agent called me up to fire me as a client this morning. I'm sure that was one of the coven, probably Bibi. I had to mix and match parts of different spells to create a new spell that would clear my agent's mind. She called me back a couple hours later to tell me how much she loved me and my work. I told her I was fleshing out an idea that would blow her mind. While Victor slept, I went outside for an afternoon walk. There was a nice breeze that cleared away the mugginess by the lake. It was so quiet, sacred as opposed to creepy. I walked into the woods east of the lake and wound up sitting by a thick, gigantic tree. I could feel it talking to me through my chakras and shit. Like, I didn't know what it was saying because it wasn't speaking English, just emotions. It felt like the tree was tired of being strong and sad. My intuition told me it was the hanging oak the historian was talking about in town. I'm sorry you were used to hurt people. You shouldn't feel like that's your legacy, I said to the tree. Humans use you as a weapon against others. If they hadn't used you, they would have used something else, like magic.
Wait, what do you know about magic? Have you ever seen a real witch?
I have a gang of witch bitches coming after me. I guess they want me to get out of town, not just avoid them. But no way am I leaving Victor here alone with them. He has to take care of this land, and I have to take care of him. Who knows? Maybe I have to take care of the land too. And maybe you. Maybe that's what Colonial Jenna wants. Me to take care of you. Do you know her? As soon as I finished talking, I started hearing wailing, like multiple voices crying. I scrambled back to the safety of the house as soon as I could, got in bed with Victor, and pulled the blankets up over my head.
And welcome back. I'm Rhoda Baeza, a producer here at Realm, and I'm here with the fantastic writer, Miss Pia Wilson. We're here to talk about episode 5 of If I Go Missing, the Witches Did It.
Jenna tries to, she switches tact a few different times, I guess, but there is a moment where she's just like, I am going to make nice. You know what I mean? And then immediately comes in hot and is like, I want to pitch my slavery book. You know what I mean? How do I?
She invited them to a brunch. Like, it was Victor on the barbecue.
Yeah. And it was just like, and she just kept pushing this agenda, right? When they were like kind of trying to, and then like it evolved into a conversation about like how hard influencers work and like building followings. Can you build a platform on slavery, I think, is like kind of one of the questions that comes up.
Carmen's like, I don't think slavery can be a brand, right? Like, and, you know, she said, you know, she's right. Like, Jenna, you can't.
She's right.
Jenna can't even stop enough to make up a fake book title. Like, you know, like made something up. But no, she was like, slavery. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's something so funny and righteous about her, you know?
She can't stop.
She's both like kind of righteous and has like this kind of idea of like how principled behavior should play out. And then also kind of gives into her basest desires at any given time.
She repeats that pattern.
I think sometimes I do engage in ways that can play. I mean, 50% of the time it works out like in an interesting way where I'm just like, okay, wow, this is like you're I'm not specifically talking about libertarians, although it can apply here too, right? Where I'm just like, oh, like you're like either not actually a libertarian, right? Or you're like, right? You like think you are because you want to like legalize marijuana or something, right. But that's like not, that's not it, right? And then, or they are, and I'm just like kind of trying to get to how we got there, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, and there's like a genuine curiosity that can get there. And then sometimes you're like, no, we're at a party. We're going to talk for like 5 minutes and I don't need to do some deep soul searching with
right.
you.
Right. I don't need to collapse like, your
yeah,
worldview.
Let's talk about TV.
I don't need to fold your worldview up for you and so you put it in your pocket.
It's fine.
I don't need to blow
yeah.
you apart.
Yeah.
You know, I might just tell you an interesting fact about how you're wrong about everything and hope that you catch on. But then I'll talk about the champagne
Are you
or
like...
something. About the crudité or the little hamburgers.
And that's all we have for you today. Pia, it's been great chatting with you as always. And for our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Revel. We'll see you next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate, review, and share it with friends. You can listen ad-free by joining Realm Unlimited at realm.fm or Realm Plus on Apple Podcasts. You can also find more shows like this one by following Realm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or at realm.fm.
Revel is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepherd. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Audio editing by Kaylin West and Sam Bagala. Theme music by Hashem Asadolahi, featuring performances by Hashem Asadolahi, Josiah Lamb, Alan Ferber, and Mike Forzano. Theme music mixed by Justin Morell. Cover art by Jenny Cheng. This season of Revel is hosted by Rhoda Baeza and Pia Wilson. You're listening to Revel, If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It. Created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.
If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It is a Realm original production, created and written by Pia Wilson. Produced by Rhoda Baeza and Haley Wagreich. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Directed by Amanda Rose Smith and Kaylin West. Starring Gabourey Sidibe, Sarah Natacheny, Aaron Landon, Len Klingeman, Tony D, Alba Ponce de Leon, Tiana Camacho, Jordan Bielski, Eli Gonzalez, and Andrew Lee. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Fred Greenhalgh. Additional editing by Corey Barton. Theme music by Hashem Asadolahi and Andrew Rowan. Cover art by Kendall Thomas. Executive in charge for Realm, Mary Asadolahi.